Anyways, I'm here today with Joey Theodore. Yeah. And Joey, you're the Central Region Chief.
Yes, sir.
The 2015 Central Region Chief for the Order of the Arrow. So the first thing I was gonna ask, do you know Al Lambert?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So Al's been on a guest on this before.
Oh, has he? Wonderful.
Yeah. So, Al's a good guy. Yep. So, who is your regional, advisor?
So we have every region, chief has a chairman, region chairman. Mm-hmm. So our region chairman is Dan Seegerson. He is a wonderful scouter, dedicated guy from Minneapolis area. And he's just Midwestern, really nice, just a cool guy. So
how often do you actually get together with him?
Not actually that often. We have a lot of calls and stuff. But as far as meeting in person, anytime there's a national event or a region event. Actually, next weekend is the region board meeting, so we'll be there with him. That's in Omaha, Nebraska. So
wow,
yeah,
Omaha's a nice city.
I've never been. The first time in Nebraska. So
Warren Buffett lives in Omaha.
Really?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Second richest person in the world, third richest in the world, second in America. You know, Omaha has a nice. Did you do comic books at all?
No.
They have a nice coffee shop / comic book store. Anyway, from our lodge, the Cone Pocketiwa Lodge, mm-hmm. was Artie Duncan.
Yeah.
And he was the Central Region mm-hmm. chairman for a while.
Yeah, almost 20 years.
And so I remember Artie, and to me, Artie was a guy in our lodge, mm-hmm. And I knew that he had some bigger role.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't until, his funeral when I'm there's a lot of people here with, mm-hmm. Different council strips on.
Yeah.
So, when Steve Miller, I don't know if you know Steve, when Steve was a guest on here, we talked about RD a bit. So Joey, what do you do as the Central Region Chief?
Yeah, as a Central Region Chief, I serve as one of the six national officers for the Order of the Arrow. And while the Chief and Vice Chief kind of have more of a role with the direction of the Order of the Arrow on the committee and stuff and have that impact, the Region Chiefs handle a lot of the national program within the regions. So every year we hold various national events within the region. I will coordinate the National Leadership Seminars. So we'll have three National Leadership Seminars this year. We had one in London, Ohio in February. The up-and-coming one is actually going to be October 9th to the 11th at Camp Lake, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So it's fairly close. And then finally we have one in November at Parkville, Missouri. So doing that, then also carrying out our section officer seminar, which is a program that we have all of our section officers come down, give it a training to kind of help them along with their positions and whatnot. And then also really any other national program or being that liaison for the lodges to the national level. So
yeah. So where's the seminar at?
So this year is actually going to be a special year. It's awesome. For some reason, the Central Region rotation is Rochester, Indiana, Parkville, Missouri, and the Florida Keys. So we'll be at Seabase this November. I know, crying shame.
Yeah.
I guess I'll bite the bullet on this one.
Yeah, you're oh, I have to go to a scouting event this weekend and eat seafood and see ocean and stuff.
Yeah, go to Key West.
So how did the cities get chosen for
So it's just kind of been the way the rotation's been for a while. I honestly don't know when they chose it. I know there's been three Seabase SOSs that I know of. So at least the last 9 years, it's been on the rotation. But there has been talk of switching it up a little bit. I'm not sure if that'll actually come to fruition for the coming years. But I can say that this SOS has been one of the cheapest that we've had in a long, long time. Every section only has to pay about $125 per person for a whole weekend, food, activities, which I think they'll take us out on a boat and we'll go snorkeling and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Our afternoon activity. All that's, only $125 plus it's only it's only $25 more if you want to come a day extra. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But then they have to pay their travel costs.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That is, the only thing on there.
But it'd be travel costs wouldn't be that much.
No, you know I mean? Like,
so then to be for 400 bucks, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe a nice weekend in the Florida Keys.
Yeah.
So no, that's awesome. So what has your, like, scouting career been like up until now? Like, this seems to be a pretty big thing.
Yeah.
So how, what does one do to work their way up to this part?
I mean, you get a lot of, like, kids who, you know, they're passionate about the organization. They're like, you know, like, how do I be, like, you know, a national officer someday? And I always, like, you know, just tell them, you know, be passionate about what you're doing and, like, do whatever it is, like, you're doing now to the best of your ability. And, like, if you put your passion in there, then people will recognize that and they're like, hey, could you help us out with something else? Like, once you show up and just, like, have fun and do, like, what's expected of you, then, like, people will, in scouting will keep you mm-hmm. involved. Like,
yeah.
As I'm sure that you've experienced as well.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, when you're there, you know, people will ask you. But yeah, it's just, I've had, you know, so many wonderful supporters that have been huge mentors for me and just kind of opened up opportunities and, like, you know, one led to another and it just kind of happened.
Yeah.
Just feel blessed every day to be a part of it.
Well, let's, you're from Indiana.
Brazil, yeah.
So wait, so the name of the town you're from is Brazil.
Brazil, yeah. It's spelled the same, too. I always tell people, like, when they're asked, like, where are you from? I'm like, oh, I'm from Brazil. And they're like, what? Like, you're not even, like, tan, and I can't tell an accent at all. I'm like, oh, Indiana.
You need to learn at least some Portuguese, though.
I do. I need to pick some up.
So now your council.
Yep.
The Crossroads of America Council.
Mm-hmm.
So they have Firecrafter.
They do.
Which is different than the OA.
Mm-hmm.
But they have both the OA and the and Firecrafter.
Yeah.
So, and you can be in both of them.
I am.
And then, yeah. But how, so do you devote more of your time to the OA then?
Yeah, so I mean, like, the thing about having both programs within our council is, you know, interested youth who want to be involved in scouting want to do both, you know, and stuff. And it comes to a point where, like, you can only divide your time up so much, right? And so you kind of have to, like, pick one. I do a lot more stuff with Order of the Arrow just because I felt like there's a lot more opportunity there for me, especially, like, you know, I think that the deciding factor for that was definitely going to OA High Adventure and seeing that.
Yeah.
And it just kind of opened my eyes to a broader perspective of scouting. But I am in Firecrafter. I think that both programs, you know, have a lot to give to scouting. Really any program that, you know, keeps kids involved and wanting to either go to summer camp or you know, be supportive of the scouting movement is something that has some merit. Firecrafter is similar in some of its principles. Like, you know, we have brotherhood, cheerfulness, and service. They have friendship, leadership, and service. So some similarities there. It's pretty much like camp based, like you move up through the ranks by doing requirements at camp, and so that's kind of how you get into the program there. So
wow. So was there a part where you were like, maybe I should do the Firecrafter thing instead?
I mean, like, so I'll say that, like, at camp, at Kreitenstein or Randsburg or wherever you're at in Crossroads, like, it's very prevalent, like the Firecrafter stuff is. And so, like, for a young kid who's, like, you know, first time at summer camp, it's like, wow, like, you know, it's kind of cool and stuff like that. So, I guess there was, like, a time in my scouting career where I was like, you know, Firecrafter's awesome and all this stuff. And, like, what is OA? Like, you know, because I did actually get into, like, Firecrafter before I did my ordeal. So, yeah, it was like, because I got elected into the order in 2009. And so I went through my ordeal September 2009. But I was inducted in Firecrafter in, like, August of 2009, so it was, like, back-to-back kind of thing.
So, I just lost my complete train of thought. That doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
I can edit that out, though. Edit that out. No, so now, I don't even know what I'm thinking. So what is your life outside of scouting?
What is my life outside of scouting? So, I try to, like, be fairly well-rounded individual, like Mitch Leonard, one of my best friends. I'm in Glee Club.
Oh,
so we actually compare some Glee Club notes.
You know the Glee Club that Mitch is in?
Yeah,
I'm an alum.
Really?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
I'm not just an alum. I am now a donor.
A donor.
You know, which is like like a higher level.
That's
than the
guy,
alum,
like.
Right? You know, so. No, I went to Europe twice with the
really
the UNI Varsity Men's Glee Club.
That's awesome.
So, no, so I'm a fellow brother in Glee.
Yeah, I heard Mitch, he was telling me about Scandinavia or something like that. Norway? I don't know. They're going on some big trip.
Yeah. So, they're going to, like, Iceland and Norway. Oh, Iceland.
Yeah, that's phenomenal.
Yeah, I went to Italy and Poland / Czech Republic. So really? That's way cooler.
Yeah.
Than, I mean, Italy, you know, is way cooler than Iceland.
Cultural center in Iceland's just like, you know.
No, we know what we should do. So, we'll have Mitch get tickets to his Christmas show.
Wonderful.
And then I'll pick you up on the way through.
Sounds great.
So, deal. I have no idea what my life will look like the first weekend of December, but... Oh, cool. So, Glee Club.
Yep, Glee Club. I'm an orchestra as well. I play clarinet. Just super nerdy, you know.
Yeah.
Going for it. But, I also do a lot of stuff with German Club. We're actually having Oktoberfest next weekend.
Oh, cool.
So, I won't be there for the actual event, but I've helped a lot with the planning process. Other than that... Yes. Fun fact about me. I actually have shown rabbits for, like, 8 years. So,
Wait. Like, for 4-H?
Yeah, well, I did for 4-H, but I'm also a member of the American Rabbit Breeders Association, and so I do a lot of stuff there. In 2008, I was actually on the National Champion Rabbit Judging Team, so, fun stuff. Do still show rabbits, and, I think I'm gonna, after my term, start to work on my judge license, so that'll be interesting.
So, how many rabbits do you have?
Well, at the peak of our rabbit barn, farm, whatever you want to call it, we had about 200.
200 rabbits?
Yeah. We have, like, a shed full of rabbits.
You know that if you just, like, plant the right stuff, you'll just have 200 rabbits in your lawn.
Yeah.
Jeez, 200 rabbits. Like, how do you even, like, keep track of 200 rabbits?
They're all in, like, their individual cages and stuff, which, I mean, if...
100 of them are named Floppy.
The sad part is, like, we don't actually give them names. We just tattoo their ears, and that's how we identify them.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but...
you don't grow close to these things.
I mean, like, some of them, like, I mean, I had this this one, his name was, like, G4 or something. I just called him G4. Like,
because that was his
serial
number.
Yeah, that was his tattoo. Yeah. But, like, he was pretty cool.
But this is, you are not the first podcast guest to have shown rabbits.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
one
interesting.
One of my fellow DEs at Elowa, that was one of her things.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, wow. So, what you should do is, have you ever seen a line where they have, like, the big rabbits? Where a person
Like,
you should try to grow rabbits. Yeah.
Oh,
is that, like, a special breed of rabbit?
Yeah, so there's actually 47 recognized breeds of rabbits within the American Rabbit
Breeders Association. Okay, the rest of this thing is just going to be rabbit questions.
Okay, I'm down. We're down.
47.
Yep. And so, like, within each breed, actually, there's different varieties. Like, for instance, one of the rabbits I show, there's actually, like, 28 different varieties of you know, colors that you could have of that one breed of rabbit. So it gets pretty interesting. Like, genetics can get really, you know, crazy, especially, like, I mean, some are easier to breed, some are more difficult, for sure. And, like, the smaller they are, the less, like, litters they have. So you maybe get, like, two or three in a litter instead of, like, if you say, like, a Californian, which is, like, a bigger rabbit, maybe six or eight, like, so. Huh.
The thing is, like, you're genuinely excited to be talking about
rabbits. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, like.
I know, I guess I read comic books, and I can talk about comic books all day. You breed rabbits.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
So, but I think what happened is that you had, like, two rabbits. And then you came out one day and you're like, oh, now I have like 40 rabbits. Yeah. And you're like, oh, now we have 200 rabbits.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, like, and you're like, they just have one cage. And now we have 500 rabbits. Wow, rabbits. Man. Like, I didn't even know that was a thing until like 3 months ago.
Yeah, actually, so every year at the end of October is the National ARBA Convention. And at this convention...
The National Convention?
Yes, the National Convention. At this convention, you will literally have tens of thousands of rabbits, you know, in this huge, like, you know,
that
usually
has smell.
Oh, it's a terrible smell. But the like staple of rabbit shows, if you go to them, is like they'll always have like booths with raffles and stuff. So you can rack in just all kinds of like random things from these raffle booths. And like, yeah, there's also at the National Convention, you can see like new breeds that they're like making. So, like, there's one breed of rabbit that, like, it's actually judged by the length of ear. And then there's another one that has, like, the softest fur, like, you could ever feel. Like, it doesn't feel real. So they, like, mix those two. So now it's just, like, a really awkward-looking, like, soft rabbit with huge ears. It's called a velveteen lop.
This is awesome. I like how they're like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to make a new breed of rabbit.
Yep.
I mean, this guy has his really long ears. They're not that soft. We need soft ears on these rabbits.
We need those soft ears.
Wow. So you sing and you breed rabbits.
Yep. Yep. That's play clarinet.
Wow. That's quite the life.
Yep.
Quite the life. Oh, man. Well, Joey, I have three questions I ask everybody.
Yep.
The first question is, what's the first question? Well, what's your favorite current TV show?
Current TV show. So I kind of like go in waves, you know, I really try to just go through every Netflix show I can find,
yeah.
But I do have a particular love for both Parks and Rec and The Office. So.
Well, in Parks and Rec, it takes place in Indiana.
It does. So, Pawnee is not a real place, though.
Right. But where do you think Pawnee is?
So they make a lot of reference to Bloomington, and it sounds like it's not terribly far from Bloomington, so I'm going to say, like, maybe in that kind of area, maybe Columbus area, like a suburb of Bloomington.
Well, one of the guys, and he's on one of the future podcasts, we talked about this.
Yeah.
And he thinks that Pawnee will be in my future district.
Really? Yeah, it's a suburb of Indy.
Because he said it's like an hour away from, he thinks it's an hour away from Indy and like an hour away from Bloomington.
Uh-huh.
And which would be like,
yeah,
how cool would that be?
That would be cool.
To be like, you know, Pawnee is in my district.
Yeah.
So I really like Park and Rec. I think the reason why Park and Rec is so good is because The Office got so bad.
Yeah.
After like three seasons, all the people on The Office went over to Park and Rec.
Yeah.
And then The Office wasn't watchable like after that. And so I do really like.
Yeah, phenomenal writers on that.
It's
great. Yeah.
Like, it was just so smart. Like,
yeah.
The humor in it was so smart.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you like Netflix shows?
Yeah.
Do you watch, like, any of the original programming?
I actually, a few. I really liked the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. I thought
that was
hilarious.
Good. That was good.
Hilarious. Can't wait for the next season. I started to watch, like, BoJack Horseman and just got really, like, confused as to what was going on.
Yeah, I didn't.
Like,
I haven't started that one.
It's weird.
There's a new show that just came out called Narcos.
Narcos.
And it's about the Colombian drug cartels.
Hmm.
So, you know, like, cocaine smugglers and everything.
Yeah.
It's basically the story of, Pablo Escobar. I mean, it is the story of Pablo Escobar and like the CIA trying to take him down.
Mm-hmm.
If you have some time, I would totally recommend it. It's because it's all like based on real happenings.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And they did the first season, so it's only like 10 episodes.
Marco Polo, have you seen that one?
Oh, I haven't started that one
it's
yet.
Phenomenal.
That one's good?
Yeah. You said you're a history buff?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
yeah.
You'd love it.
Well, and I just discovered that I have an Amazon Prime account. I didn't know. So somehow I accidentally signed up for this thing.
Wonderful.
And that opens up a whole new world of television. I'm like, how am I supposed to be productive? Because right now, I have like 12 things on my Netflix queue, and all of them are TV shows.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I will never be able to watch all this TV. And now I have like four new shows. Because Amazon Prime has a whole bunch of HBO stuff.
Oh, really?
So, like, there's going to be...
Yeah, Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones I haven't seen on there yet.
I have not seen it either.
Game of Thrones, though, I've seen the first two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty good show. Lots of things going on. It's a show you have to, like, watch.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just have it on in the background. And,
mm-hmm.
But, no, like, so I'm gonna have to get into The Wire and Boardwalk Empire. Those are both on there. So, and I really want to watch True Detective, but I haven't seen that on Amazon Prime yet. But I think my next show is going to be The Wire, probably.
Wonderful.
But yeah, so what do you want to do when you oh man, my voice is killing me. What do you want to do when you like get a job? What is your dream job?
So I'm not really sure what I really want to do. There's a lot of things I'd love to do, but I'm not really sure what I like want to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm like a double major in art and political science. I know it's kind of random.
That's very odd.
Yeah, very odd
that
combination.
Like, that's like you want to be a Shepherd Fairey.
Yeah. So yeah, very very kind of off the wall major, and maybe a German or philosophy minor. Like, who knows? But I do know that whatever I want to do, I want to be able to work with people, not be stuck in a cubicle all my life, mm-hmm. maybe have some sort of creative outlet and help people. So.
Yeah. And play with rabbits on the weekends.
Yep, and play with rabbits on the
weekends.
That's
a good plan. If you could meet anybody, could be alive, dead, fictional, anybody,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to have a meal with them, who do you meet and what do you eat?
I definitely probably have to say Teddy Roosevelt, just a solid guy. Really appreciate all that he did for conservation and whatnot, and just seemed like a very interesting individual. So I feel like that would be a cool guy to have dinner with. We would definitely, the venue would be, you know, either a cool beachfront or New Zealand. Just
Teddy Roosevelt in New Zealand.
Yep, Teddy Roosevelt in New Zealand, and probably a solid, you know, porterhouse steak, medium, with some steak fries.
That's, you know, and I think that Roosevelt would go for the steak.
He would
I
love
don't
it.
Know how he would do at the beach.
No, I don't know.
did you know Teddy Roosevelt walked Eleanor Roosevelt down the aisle at her wedding with FDR?
Really? I didn't know that.
And her maiden name is Roosevelt. They were like cousins.
Yeah.
But, Teddy Roosevelt, who is like one of the coolest people in all of history,
mm-hmm.
he was getting ready to give a speech. A guy came out of the crowd, shot him with a pistol, and like the bullet went through the speech. It hit him. He was bleeding, and he got up and gave the whole speech, and it lasted an hour.
That's awesome.
And then went and got medical treatment. Can you imagine, like that would never happen today?
Because,
first of all, the guns today would go through, four people. Yeah. You know what I mean? A speech isn't going to stop them. But then, the slight, if a car backfires, the president would be gone.
Oh, yeah.
They'd take him out of there. Man, Teddy Roosevelt. Well, okay, so, Joey, I think that this is the last episode of our podcast.
That's
crazy. I'm moving, soon. So, I think you'll be our, I have, we're going to revisit with some of our former guests, but you're, mm-hmm. the last, numbered episode of the podcast.
That's awesome.
So this is number 79, because why do number 80, right?
Yeah.
So I only have 3 days here. So this is what I think we should do. So you'll be the last guest on this podcast. Now you're from Crossroads America Council.
I am.
That's where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know when I want to start keep the podcast idea going. I don't know when I would start that. Obviously not going to start it right away, because
mm-hmm.
I need to figure out what's going on. But how about when that gets figured out,
mm-hmm.
you'll be my first guest on the new podcast.
I like that.
Deal?
Yeah, deal.
Rock and roll. Well, Joey, I'm glad that you spent some time with me today, and I will definitely look forward to talking to you in the future.
For sure.
So, hey, thank you, brother, and we'll talk to you soon.